Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. The new state fiscal year got underway in North Carolina 3 weeks ago, but state leaders have still yet to agree on a new budget. Governor Roy Cooper wants to negotiate with Republican legislative leaders and find a middle ground between their competing proposals. But thus far, his requests to sit down and talk have been rebuffed. The same is true on some important substantive issues, including the subject of political gerrymandering, where GOP leaders refuse to discuss legislative proposals that they themselves sponsored a decade ago. So what's next? Is Raleigh stuck in a perpetual stalemate? Earlier this week, I sat down with one of the legislature's rising young stars, Wake County Senator Jay Chaudhry, to get his assessment of the key policy matters in dispute and what's likely to happen next. Well, Senator Jay Chaudhry, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Well, great to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
It's a remarkable time right now in North Carolina politics. We've got the President of the United States has been in town. We've got the General Assembly sort of in a budget impasse. We're not quite sure how long the session's going to last. What's your take on where things are over at the General Assembly these days, where you spend most of your time?
We're clearly in a budget standoff at the General Assembly. I think while we're winding down with passing non-budgetary bills, I mean, the budget really remains the main logjam there between the governor and the Republican leadership.
Right. And the governor has come forward and said, I really want Medicaid expansion. But he's also listed a lot of other concerns he had about education funding, a lot of other specific items. He's offered some compromises from where he started out the year with his budget proposal. The Republicans haven't even evinced a willingness to sort of sit down and talk about it at this point.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think that the Republican leadership strategy is first to see if they can work hard to pick off Democrats and have them come to their side to override the governor's veto. And I think that'll be their first prong of attack. And I think they'll continue to do so rather than sitting down and negotiating with the governor. I mean, I think one of the things I think your listeners have to keep in mind is the fact that this Republican leadership, specifically the president pro tem, has really had to negotiate with nobody for almost a decade.
Right.
And now the fact that they are negotiating with the governor of the state of North Carolina, I think, has really changed the dynamics here.
The idea of overriding the governor's veto, that's an interesting one. It seems as if what's happening is they're attempting to lure some of your colleagues with little trinkets. Here's a little million for this and a million for that for your district.
Yes.
Do you think there's a chance it could actually work?
I am optimistic that it will not work, and I certainly feel like we have the votes in the Senate to lock that down. That is one of the responsibilities I have as whip, and I think that my House counterparts are doing a great job as well. I will tell you, as someone who represents Wake County, I am particularly troubled by the bargaining chips they are offering, particularly around transferring DHHS, the largest state agency. But the fact that they are playing politics with DHHS employees' lives to change their commuting time, to literally move an agency into another municipality or county is incredibly troubling to me.
Yeah, it is very worrisome. We certainly hope it doesn't come to that. Obviously, the big issue that Governor Cooper's been emphasizing, I've alluded to it, is Medicaid expansion. There's been a Republican version of Medicaid expansion that now has come out of a House committee with very significant bipartisan support. It's obviously not the bill Governor Cooper wants to see or most Democrats, but that says to me that there is some appetite amongst rank and file Republicans for doing something on this issue.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think what we're seeing with the House Republicans is an interest to have Medicaid expansion. They call it Carolina Cares. They can call it whatever they want to. But I think that they are looking at more of the conservative models that have been followed in other red states. My understanding is that version of the bill will still cover, I think, around 300,000 North Carolinians. I think overall it's a good first step. I mean, obviously the bill has not passed, but as you know, Rob, I mean, this problem still remains in the Senate, and with Senator Berger and his leadership's desire really not to expand Medicaid.
One thing that was at one point, it seemed maybe that the Republicans was offering was, well, let's go ahead and pass the budget and then maybe we'll have a special session to talk about this later. That was something that nobody really took terribly seriously. I take it didn't strike you as a very serious offer.
Well, it's not serious to me. I mean, why have a special session? We can get it accomplished now. I mean, we've been in session for a long time. I mean, the voters have charged us to focus on affordable health care. I think it remains a top issue here in the state, and we need to get this done now along with passing the budget.
How do you foresee this going forward? We've got a new school year not that far around the corner. Obviously, all parties are agreed, although they don't agree on the specifics. They're agreed teachers need raises. We need more funding for education, clearly, even just to sort of keep things where they are. And obviously, if we don't have a final budget agreement, that's going to present a problem come the start of the new school year. Is it a sort of a game of chicken we're playing here with that?
Yeah, we are playing a game of chicken, and I've used that exact term to describe the kind of the standoff that we're in. I mean, I think we have the inside game in the building, but then I think we'll see an outside game, and I think you'll see a campaign on both sides. I think that Governor Cooper and his cabinet members are going to engage in a very public campaign to persuade the public. I think they are going to go into Republican districts to talk about Medicaid expansion. The thing that folks have to keep in mind is if we pass Medicaid expansion, that could be the largest job creator for their districts. It's larger than any manufacturing company coming into their district. And in Wake County, for example, that would result in 4,700 jobs. That's larger than any job creation announcements Governor Cooper has made in the last 2.5 years he's been in office.
Probably any governor has made in the last decade. It would literally bring billions of federal dollars into our state that are just going to other places right now. So keep our fingers crossed on that. Another huge issue that's going on at the same time that we're in this budget impasse is the issue of political gerrymandering. It seems as if nationally, notwithstanding the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision, that there is momentum, that people have finally sort of understood what gerrymandering is. And here in North Carolina, we've got a new state court trial underway, even as you and other members of the General Assembly have been pushing for reform legislation that might make the necessity of the trial go away.
I think we were all disappointed in the 5-4 decision that by the United States Supreme Court in its refusal to strike down partisan gerrymandering for our congressional districts. But that being said, there has been an active effort being made at the state level using state constitution to try to strike down partisan gerrymandering. Our North Carolina state constitution has a number of state constitutional provisions. Many of them arguably provide and afford broader protections than the federal constitutional counterpart. And I think that those arguments can carry a lot of weight. We know what happened with the Pennsylvania gerrymandering case that was argued using Pennsylvania state constitutional claims worked, and I believe that we will be able to achieve the same thing here in North Carolina.
When you spoke the other day at the press conference in front of the legislative building, you talked about sort of the eyes of the nation being on North Carolina right now. This is the first place that's really grappled with this issue since the Supreme Court issued its regrettable decision, and it could actually maybe even set a trend for the nation if we were to somehow make some progress.
Look, the timing could not be better or worse compared to who you're talking to, but certainly the front lines have shifted from the United States Supreme Court to a court in Wake County Superior Court. And I know a lot of folks are paying close attention to that partisan gerrymandering trial that's going on right now as we speak.
Another front and center issue in our state and our nation right now is the issue of immigrants, immigrant rights, the crisis on our border. We had a piece on NC Policy Watch recently by an immigration attorney, Raul Pinto, who works at the North Carolina Justice Center, in which he argued really that the border is here, that a lot of these same kinds of issues when it comes to breaking up families and sort of just a destructive impact of our broken immigration laws. You can see it playing out every day, even here in North Carolina. You've got some legislation at the General Assembly that seeks to force more enforcement of immigration laws by local law enforcement officials over their own objections in many instances. What's your take on where things are going with that in North Carolina right now?
Well, you know, in the Senate House Bill 370, the bill that really forces local law enforcement authorities and county sheriffs to work with ICE, did pass in the state Senate, although every Democrat in the Senate did vote against that bill. And I think there's a lot of concern about trying to impose state law upon local county sheriffs. I am, at a broader perspective, very concerned about the rhetoric that is used by Republicans, and we saw this with the president last night against immigrants. I am particularly offended by this as a son of immigrants and someone who calls this home, and I'm very worried. I saw the trailer today for Holly Grange in her announcement today for governor.
Representative Holly Grange.
Right.
Yeah.
And the playbook for Republicans still will remain the same. I think they will focus on immigration and abortion, and I think that's what we see here in the General Assembly.
With Trump's comments at his recent appearance in Greenville and this whole issue, it shines sort of a troubling light on our state. Wouldn't you say it's not unreminiscent of HB2 and the sort of bad publicity that we derived from that?
I feel like we've spent the last year and a half trying to overcome HB2 in really trying to make sure that the state is a welcoming place. I mean, I think all of us, you and I, know that this is an incredible state with incredibly warm and welcoming people.
Right.
What we saw with HB2, now what we see with the president's rhetoric in eastern North Carolina, I worry about it portraying the state in an unwelcoming place, and certainly from an economic development perspective and ability to attract companies, I think it presents real challenges for us.
You've got your work cut out for you, it looks like, in the weeks and months ahead. We thank you so much for your service to our state, all you do, all the principled stances you take on so many issues. Thank you for your leadership, and we look forward to checking back with you later this summer, early next fall, perhaps, and see hopefully some progress on a lot of these important issues.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here and happy to come back.
Coming up next, is North Carolina responding adequately and equitably to the opioid crisis? We'll hear from one of the state's top health journalists. Stay with us.